Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Southern Cross is back, and with us in studio today is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Michael Andrew. How are you?
How are you doing? I'm good.
Good. Yes, good also. Good also. Ready to talk about more West Papua issues.
Yes.
So should we start off with more protests?
Yes, more protests. Mm-hmm. So once again, West Papua dominates the Pacific headlines. So there was a period of relative quiet since the unrest a few weeks ago, which was the big protest movement where about 10 people died and, you know, thousands were protesting and setting fires to buildings across West Papua and parts of Indonesia too. The internet was cut off and the police deployed troops to crack down on the protesters and the demonstrators. And then after that, there was a bit of a relative quiet patch. But last week, it kicked off again. There were two incidents. The first was in the city of Jayapura, which is the regional or provincial capital of West Papua. It's the biggest city too, one of the biggest cities. And there were students holding a demonstration in the university there, the auditorium, and they were basically holding a solidarity demonstration for the people that were arrested and persecuted during the protests. The police showed up and ordered them to leave, and they didn't. So then they were forced out at gunpoint. And the reports are kind of vague. It's still, you know, bits and pieces are slowly being released. But allegedly, when, you know, forced out at gunpoint, the students started attacking the police, and then the police opened fire on the students.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so one soldier was stabbed to death and three students were killed. So that was the thing that set it off all again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so pretty messy business. And then meanwhile,
I was going to say, and because obviously the whole issue with West Papua is the lack of journalists and the lack of sort of media being able to talk about these things. An issue like that, the students being at that protest, would there have been West Papuan journalists or people there to report it, or are they simply relying on people telling their stories?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because the next item is about the three or four journalists that were there at that protest, and they were effectively barred from the premises from the police. So the police didn't let them in. Some of them were put into paddy wagons. So they were like prominent journalists, one from the Jakarta Post, which is their national daily, another from Tabloid Jubi, which is a West Papua publication, and then another from Papua Suraya, which is another small one. But all very major outlets in that region, and the three journalists were effectively excluded from going anywhere near. So they weren't able to report on what was actually happening. So, since that's been found out, journalists across the region and across the world have basically said that their job is to cover that. Like, the police clearly don't understand the function of reporters in a democracy. There's definitely a lack of education as to what the role of the media is, and that's just to stand by and report things. I mean, because it was like a legitimate, you know, there's obviously mistakes on both sides, that the students attacking the police, the police attacking the students. So there's not one bad guy in this, you know.
No.
And so the police shouldn't really fear the reporters being there and covering the story, because, you know, they could provide balance and just like accurate portrayal of what happened. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So, the journalists are certainly trying to get access, but they just can't. They get a hard time, and they have a really hard time doing their job.
And I suppose, as you said, you know, that concern about it potentially being biased reporting, or, you know, like that the police would look bad or the government would look bad under the reports that the journalists would make. You know, you can understand where that comes from, but as you said, that's not the case. Like, there were two sides to that story, and they were both, you know, not necessarily doing good things by fighting each other. But potentially, if journalists were there to report that, it might not have ensued in such, like, negative ways if they knew that somebody was going to be there and writing all down about everything that happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny because Indonesia is a democracy.
Mm.
But it doesn't
act like one.
Yeah, it doesn't act like one, and it could so easily. But yeah. There's this real sense of irreverence, you know, or I guess this hierarchy that views anyone doing anything out of line is very insulting, and you have to follow the rules, and you have to just do as you're told. But in a democracy, that's not how it works. You don't do as you're told. You get vote people in to be your representatives, and you hold them accountable. And the police are a function of the state, which you've voted for, and yeah. You actually control the state essentially. But anyway, next to that, there was another separate incident I'll just touch on briefly up in the Highland town of Wamuna, and that's where about 30 people or 28 people died.
Oh gosh.
So yeah, that was the bigger of the two incidents, but that happened later in the day, last Monday actually. And social media is very much the tool that a lot of people use to get their information, and these posts started going around about a school teacher in one of the local schools who racially abused one of the students, and that just spread around, and that just kicked everything off once again. So immediately thousands of kids marched out into the streets, or kids and students and, you know, older people as well, and started torching buildings. A lot of people that died were people that got trapped in the building. So it wasn't just Papuans who died, it was a lot of non-native Papuans or ethnic Indonesians who were living in West Papua. And then, there were reports that police opened fire once again. So a lot of people died, around about 30, I think. So yeah, really a lot of bloodshed last week, which is
that's awful.
But strangely enough, it still hasn't really been reported on.
Yeah,
and it's pretty egregious developments.
And so those sort of updates that you're getting are quite sort of, not that they're not clear, but they're, you know, they've happened, but there's nothing in depth about what is actually going on or what the repercussions of any of that's going to be. Or yeah,
it takes time because the government, as soon as that happened, the government cut off the internet once again.
Mm.
So any further reports are hard to get and hard to verify. So the big outlets usually have people on the ground like Al Jazeera and The Guardian. They're quite reliable to get first-hand accounts because they have journalists stationed there. But other than that, like, you can't really get solid details. But as far as we know, yeah, a lot of people have died and on both sides. So yeah, very, very ugly, unfortunately. Yeah. It's not settling down, and it doesn't look like it will.
Well, no. It just seems like it just keeps going.
Yeah, well, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Something needs to change because I think the West Papuans aren't going to
stop,
be suppressed anymore. They're just so emboldened by what's happened and by 40 years of, very control under a very authoritarian state.
Sad.
Sad. Anyway.
Sad. Let's move on to an AUT story.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, cool. Indeed. This is not necessarily a Pacific story, but it does have a lot of implications for social media and for computer science in general, and that's becoming a growing concern in the Pacific, obviously. But an AUT computer science lecturer has penned a letter to Jacinda Ardern, basically imploring her to take more of a hand in trying to regulate social media companies using domestic law to regulate the likes of Twitter and the likes of Facebook. And lots has been happening on this particular issue in the last few months. The Twitter boss was here a couple of weeks ago, and obviously the Christchurch call in Paris where social media heads said they would do something. But this guy's basically saying that there's a universal lack of ethics in the tech world and in Silicon Valley. And he's basically compared the Silicon Valley executives to the robber barons of the 1800s, you know, like the industrialists who exploited coal and gold and really cheap labor and manipulated entire markets to reap this enormous wealth for themselves. And he's written these columns that basically say that these guys are so ethically devoid. And the problem is no ethics gets taught in university courses. And he wants to change that. So he's basically saying that more ethical papers need to be taught at the ground level, at, you know, the root of the issue in universities, in order to instill students with this idea that computer science and programming and software and all these things that are really technical need to be viewed as a, like, a societal good, like nursing or teaching or something like that, because it has immense power to do good, but that power has never really been appreciated before.
And it needs to have a sense of morality to ensure that people, I mean, obviously we've seen with the way that social media is now, the negative impacts it's having on people and their mental health. And if ethics or morality was taught at a ground level, that would stem through into future developments in that sort of area.
Absolutely, yeah. Because what he's saying is, at the moment, or how it's been, is that these kids come through to learn code.
Yeah.
And they're really into it because it's awesome, you can do cool stuff, but they're not really necessarily thinking about how is this code, which could have enormous consequences and significance for something like Facebook, you know, the code that creates the algorithm that Facebook uses. How is that going to affect society? Because people don't really not necessarily think like that. They just think, oh, here's a cool code that can have this cool little outcome here. But they're trying to teach students to think about it deeper, think about how is this code actually going to affect people and make their lives better. So that's what they're trying to, well, that's what he's says is going to address this ethical vacuum in the computer science and the tech world.
And I suppose that is, you know, you did say it's the sort of fast movement of the sort of digital era, creating codes, computer science, social media. It took over all of a sudden, and it was just got everywhere. And it almost is similar to what happened with industrialization, and those people that are involved in it at the time earn huge amounts of money and are not thinking about the implications of what that might have on people, because nobody knew at the time, which is, it's almost sort of like, it would have been great if it was taught initially, but would they have known? And also, but now it's important because we have to backtrack and be like, well, what it's doing is not necessarily ethical or moral. So it's interesting.
Exactly, yeah. Like you say, that those guys saw a gap in the market, in an unregulated market, and they used the purest form and the most callous form of capitalism to exploit an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there's no ethics in that.
No.
The invisible hand doesn't account for
the impact on people.
It's all about self-interest, right? So it's, These social media guys or these tech guys have just worked on the same principle, and now we're in a situation where Facebook can be incredibly dangerous because the code has not accounted for, mitigating against the spread of hatred and that kind of thing.
Yeah, or privacy or anything. It's just, interesting. That's,
interesting indeed.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. Anything
so
else?
So a tenuous link to the Pacific.
Yeah.
But fascinating nonetheless.
Still good. Still good to talk about. Is that anything else for today?
That's all I've
got. That's it. Wonderful. Well, read all about Pacific Media Centre updates at pmc.aut.ac.nz and asiapacificreport.nz. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.